Thanks for tuning into The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Because of COVID-19 and Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order, many parents have also suddenly been thrown into the role of teacher. This shift can be stressful, to say the least. You might hear somebody yelling in the background of this very live broadcast, but especially when their parents have their own work to do on top of a pandemic to worry about. We'll speak with mental health professionals in just a few minutes and get some tips from them about how to make this adjustment a little smoother, but first, I want to welcome Ashley Price. She has experience homeschooling her fifth grader and a second grader, and she's on the line with us now from Urbana. Ashley, thanks so much for being with us, and welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And just a reminder, you can always join the conversation. How have the past few weeks been like for you, parents? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21STShow. That's 21st Show. So, Ashley, I want to start with you in this segment because you actually homeschooled your two kids up until January of this year. Can you talk about some of the challenges you were experiencing with homeschooling and what kind of toll this was taking on your mental health at that time?
Sure. So we homeschooled from the beginning, which means I've been staying home with my kids for about 10 years now. Started working part-time, building up my own business on the side. And as my interest in that started increasing, I honestly was starting to feel really burnt out on homeschooling. On top of that, while academically it was going very well for my children, they're both extremely intense. And there was a lot of times when if one of them got frustrated with something, it would collapse into screaming almost immediately. And that kind of turned into this whole feedback loop of one kid gets frustrated with their math, falls on the floor yelling, I have to literally pick them up sometimes, help them with math, and the other kid gets frustrated and then starts screaming about something else. And it turned into this I spent a lot of my days bouncing around, managing emotions, trying to deal with frustrations. And because of that, I didn't have time for all of the things that make me happy outside of, you know, my family. I couldn't garden much last year. I couldn't do many of my hobbies. It honestly put me in something of a depression. I was able to keep up with my business, which was growing, and keep up with homeschooling, but that was all my life was. And we really kind of needed something to shift. So we decided to start looking. We did all of the things we could think of, changing our schedules, all of the techniques, reading parenting books. I started seeing a therapist. My oldest started seeing a therapist, and all of that helped, but it wasn't enough to really make the situation sustainable with all of us happy. So we realized we needed to do something different, and we found the Montessori school in Savoy, Montessori Champaign-Urbana, and that was a really good fit for us because they followed all of the reasons that we were homeschooling. They were able to meet them, but in an environment that gave me a chance to do something else too.
So how did you feel when you enrolled your kids at this Montessori program earlier this year? Was there any sort of reprieve from some of the challenges you were talking about with homeschooling?
Oh, absolutely. So it was a big transition. I'd been planning on homeschooling from the beginning. It was a central feature of our life. My husband was also homeschooled, and we were both very committed to it. So this was a big change. It was kind of an adjustment, figuring out what things were going to look like. But at the same time, it gave me the space that I needed, and they were immediately thriving. There's this thing where children magically are better behaved for people who are not their parents than for their parents.
This all sounds so familiar.
Yeah, it's something they do. And I talk to my friends who don't have kids about this, and they're like, do you think it'll be better? I'm like, yeah, kids just are better for other people. So all of the behavior challenges that my oldest had were gone. The teachers had no idea that she has strong frustration issues. My younger one is a little more difficult in some ways, and so he can be a bit, I call him a curmudgeon. So he curmudgeons at school sometimes, but it's really not that big a deal. And because they're gone, they come home, and have space to, play, read, watch TV, what have you, all of the tension in our family just basically dropped. Everybody, it was peaceful. There was very few fights between the kids or between, us, me and the kids. And yeah, it was really nice having that breath of really of fresh air. Like we could just have space. And I was really enjoying being just in the role of parent instead of having to worry about all of the parenting stuff and, emotional guidance. And my daughter's 10 and a half, so we're starting to deal with, questions about impending puberty and do all of that stuff. And not also have to worry about, are they doing enough in math and science? What about
Yeah.
history? Have we done enough? Is she reading enough?
So what a
So
relief
that was
it
really
must have
great.
yeah, so what a relief it must have been to get them in school. You say your family dynamic improves, your stress levels are better, and then there's a global pandemic. What have the past few weeks been like?
It's been intense. So like it's been a lot. We have been getting academically, the kids get a lot of support from the school, and because they still have the teachers that they can talk to, they're starting to do meetings with their classmates. It's kind of giving some of the a little bit of that school structure, but we still have this, 6+ year habit of them really relying on us. My husband has been incredibly helpful for this. We've realized that I'm still burnt out from homeschooling, so he is taking the lead on making sure the kids get their schoolwork started, and I have a chance to do other things for a while. But it's been a lot. The longer the restrictions happen, the more as new ones come down, like I have a day of just like sobbing and panics because, you can't really go to the playground. I can't go to the, forest preserve that I always go to in the spring. Take my kids to. A big part of our homeschooling in spring was just going out to the parks, nature observation, and we can't do that anymore. My kids miss their friends, both their friends at school and their homeschool friends. We had a lot of activities when we were homeschooling, and slightly less when they were in school. And so we're all just really feeling that change and trying to get through it, but there are days when there's a lot of screaming and crying.
We've been speaking with Ashley Price about the newfound situation many of us parents find ourselves in of being both at home working and at home with our kids. This is something that Ashley has dealt with for a number of years now. We actually have we have a caller on the line. I want to go to Greg in Chicago. I understand you have been teaching from home. What has your experience been of that?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I'm really blessed. My upstairs neighbor has a 7-year-old, and they've allowed me to be his art teacher. And I'm finding the experience more like he's teaching me. I'm not teaching him. Every day he comes downstairs, colored pencils, watercolors. Like, it's really just been an amazing opportunity to kind of slow down, love the people you're lucky enough to love, and like just check back in. I also want to thank you so much for your coverage of Statesville. They're just brilliant people. Like Joseph Dole on the inside, asking Governor Pritzker to check to his better angels. I mean, it's just one of those great moments where we can all do so much more if we slow down.
All right, Greg, thank you for that call and a reminder. You can always join the conversation with us here on the 21st. How have the past few weeks been for you as a parent in particular? Give us a call, 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21ST Show. I want to bring Amy Slutsky into the conversation. She's a mother, a national board certified licensed professional counselor, and a special needs educational advocate. Amy, welcome to the 21st. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
If you'd like to, I guess I want to begin by asking you about Ashley's story. You were listening to that, I believe. So it's obviously unique, but there are a lot of things that I, as a parent, and I'm sure a lot of parents who are listening, can hear in that we've all been dealing with, and certainly in the past month, if not longer. She mentioned some of these issues that we're all navigating through. What have you been hearing from people about this new situation for many of us?
So I think what I've been hearing the most is that the switch between sending our children to school and then having to homeschool them ourselves has been so dramatic And one of the things that I'm encouraging people to do is to slow down a little bit, kind of like your caller said, but to respect your own learning curve. I have an education background. I was in the classroom for 15 years. I know nothing about educating my second grader who's got special needs. It's just not my expertise. So I think everybody, parents, when they are becoming at-home teachers, need to figure out how to just do one thing at a time. For example, if you have a child who's going to bed too late, they want to go to bed at 8:30, you want them to bed at 8 o'clock, one of the things I would recommend is just to move it 5 minutes at a time, because what your brain really wants is organization, and it seeks patterns all the time. So if you can just move the pattern a little bit at a time, that's going to help decrease the anxiety for the children, decrease anxiety on moms like Ashley, who have many, many hats. She's a business owner. She's a spouse. She's the mom of two kids, which makes her two kinds of moms. So one of the things I think we can all do is give ourselves a little bit of grace and let ourselves just do one thing at a time and to rebuild this new normal we're all trying to figure out.
So Amy, I'm sure we could spend a whole segment on just this question alone, but you know, now that so many of us parents are in this role, these dual roles of teacher and parent, you know, there's expectations that we feel on us, moms in particular, I know, but we look at, for my own kids, there's a Facebook group set up through their school, and I can see what other parents are doing, and they've sort of replicated some of the lesson materials from the school at home. And you know, those of us who are working just don't necessarily have time for that. How do we navigate these two roles? Do we have to take them on both, or do we just accept that we can't do everything?
So I think there's teachable moments all over the place. Thanks to Disney Plus rolling out Frozen 2 early, I have had to watch it 147 times.
you know, mercifully, my own kids do not like it as much as Frozen 1, so I've been spared. We watched it once.
Oh, but it just got extended to April 30th, Brian, so keep your fingers crossed for that one. But it's interesting because, you know, especially with special needs, there are all these goals and services. But what you can do is you can use the media they prefer, like a movie, and see if you can't sneak in some of the education that way. Pause it. Ask them, what do you think is going to happen next? You've got great reading skills for inference, and ask them about the setting. They should know that at a certain age. So I think if we just get a little creative, and we work with what the kids naturally do and what they want to do, we could sneak in a lot of those educational goals without having to print the right worksheet, remember how we used to do third grade math, try to reconcile that with new math skills, and really try to figure out how to prioritize your family's values with what needs to get done at like a higher level for educational and common core standards.
Yeah. And so, you know, a few moments ago, Ashley, I want to bring you back into the conversation. I was just talking about this experience of doubling the pressure, right? Because you're going back into this role of parent and teacher. We heard from Greg, who a caller a few moments ago, who reminded us that, you know, he's enjoying taking this time with his kid or with a kid, but it sounded to me like it wasn't his kid necessarily. It was the neighbor's kid. So there is some separation there that those of us who are parents don't necessarily get to enjoy. Can you talk a little bit about are you feeling this pressure to do both roles again?
To some extent, because we don't know how long this is going to be, but one of the nice things about homeschooling, and this is one of the reasons it worked for us for so long, is we have the space in our schedule as homeschoolers, when I was homeschooling and still today, to give the kids time to explore what they're interested in, follow their passion projects, dig down into, you know, deep dive into whatever they're into. And that could be Minecraft building. That could be my kids. I've got my
almost 8-year-old is writing a comic book. My kids together have been working on a movie musical off and on for the past several months, and they've really ramped that up in the past few days. So, like, what I'm trying, like, there is some amount of pressure. Thankfully, our school is a very low pressure school, and that's not, I'm not hearing that from there. But there is this pressure in our society for parents, especially mothers, to be on top of everything and do everything, make sure everything's enriching and perfect. And that's just not going to work in general, and it's really not going to work during a pandemic. As someone who's been there, done that before with homeschooling, now back in that role with more support from the teachers, thankfully, we are just trying to get, you know, a couple of hours of the academic stuff and their school meetings and such done in the morning, and then giving them the afternoon to do whatever the heck they want. And I find that they learn really, really well that way. We have great conversations about, you know, history, looking through, I have a book of, like, you know, just a coffee table book of classic art or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they find pictures of, you know, Renaissance paintings, and we discuss some of the symbolism in there. Or they found a picture of the French Revolution and a guillotine, and we got to explain that and have this discussion about how history works and classism. And there's a lot of stuff that can come up just organically through conversations and letting the kids mm-hmm. explore their interests.
So we've been speaking
I
with...
Think this is an...
Yeah, sorry. We need to take a break here. I'd like Ashley Price, an Urbana mom, thank you. We will stay with us. And Amy Slutsky, she's a National Board Certified Licensed Professional Counselor and a Special Needs Educational Advocate. We want to continue the conversation after the break. We want you to join us. Give us a call, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21STShow. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, talk more about how parents are helping students with special needs navigate learning from home. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st. Welcome back to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order continues, all students in Illinois are learning from home until at least April 30th. Today, we've been talking about some of the challenges that parents have been facing as they navigate e-learning. Amy Slutsky is a mom, a National Board Certified Licensed Professional Counselor, and a Special Needs Educational Advocate. We've also been speaking with Urbana mom Ashley Price. We reached out to listeners for their perspectives on e-learning, and we heard back from Nicole Schlechter. She's a mom of four from Pingree Grove, Illinois, and her oldest son has autism, ADHD, and anxiety. Here's what she had to say.
As far as e-learning goes for my son, it is a huge source of anxiety. Just visually looking at all of the work that has to be done is overwhelming for him. The deadlines, we're only getting homework about 24 hours in advance. We're only getting a schedule 24 hours in advance. And for a kid who really benefits from getting a heads up on a schedule change, this 24-hour notice thing is not really working for us. So it is something that I communicated to his teacher about and we will be working on. It's just very frustrating to know that with all of these changes going on, the teachers are working really hard, the districts are trying to come up with a plan that fits the majority, and what's happening is special education is kind of slipping through the cracks. The problem is that there is no way of guaranteeing special education students are receiving an appropriate education right now.
I want to thank Nicole for sending in that message. We'll have a longer version of it up on our website, 21stshow.org. Amy, just a few minutes left in this conversation, but you're a special needs educational advocate. Can you talk about some of the additional challenges that this situation can pose to kids who may get that extra support through school?
Yes, and my son is similar to Nicole's oldest. I have an 8-year-old who is on the spectrum. He has ADHD. He also has anxiety. It's the triple threat. And it's really scary to be able to put a little bit of emotion in this conversation. It is really scary when you have the best circumstances, with a kid with special needs, because there is so much at stake. You have no idea what they're learning, because they, for some examples, can't tell you what's going on in school. You can't ask them how their day is. There's a speech language deficit. So now we're really scared and we're really frustrated because the professionals who are supposed to help us, we don't have access to. So I think Nicole is right in line with all of the community in so much as we are terrified about what this means for our kids.
Ashley,
as the advocate. Oh, okay.
No, please go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, as the advocate, here's a little bit of sugar in that spice. We in special education use typical kids in order to set goals for special needs kids. So the entire world is at the same place where all of our kids will be socially promoted to some extent. All of our kids will not be reaching their potential. So when we go to these IEP meetings, whenever school is in session, that's part of the conversation. So our kids are going to be behind. They might be a little further behind than we would like, but so are their typical peers in their classroom. And schools and the district and the state is really doing their best to address that. I've been a part of IEP meetings during the shelter in place. And so the community at the school is still working very, very close with trying to make sure that you are getting all of the needs met for your child.
Ashley, you mentioned before the break about, I think, a comic book that your kids are working on, this idea of, you know, not all learning has to come from books and math problems, that sort of thing, that it can be more organic. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, how are you, can you talk a little bit about how you're structuring your day? I mean, is that something that's helpful? And what does that look like for your family?
So it's been changing week by week, because as the teachers have a chance to figure out what works and adjust scheduling and all of that. So we're still kind of feeling it out, but my kids have meetings with their class about 9 and 9:30. And we generally start doing the sit-down schoolwork right after breakfast. So that's when they get their math, their language work done, their piano practice, so on and so forth. They take a lot of breaks in there, so if they need to get up and move around, get out the crazies, do some cartwheels, read for 10 minutes so they can just, like, reset if one of them's frustrated, that absolutely happens. And that kind of helps keep the flow going and find that balance. Middle of the day, they get, you know, actually usually about now, they get a TV break. I think one kid is playing Sims a lot, the other's watching YouTube videos. And that's fine. And then the afternoon, if usually my younger one, because he's, you know, 7 in second grade, he's got less work. So he's usually done by then. Sometimes my daughter isn't. So she'll get some of her schoolwork done, some of her bigger projects in the afternoon. But otherwise, the afternoon is for free play. And so we're doing that. We're going out on a lot of walks. They've been doing a lot of roller skating. Dinner, family activity of some sort. Tonight we have our family gymnastics night because it's fun. So we're going to do handstands and cartwheels and all of that silliness before bed. But there's just the key is, like, having the flexibility for free movement, for taking breaks and space for them to do what they want to do.
All right. Ashley Price is a mom in Urbana. We've also been speaking with Amy Slutsky, who's a National Board Certified Licensed Professional Counselor. Thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us.